Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our final Big Brother Canada 8 recap of the season. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and joining me tonight is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm sad. The last night's episode was really sad. It really is disappointing to have this be our finale coverage. Watching them last night and seeing how everyone was just devastated, like even the people who we were like, oh, they're not even trying, they don't care. They cared and they showed it. And it just makes me think that like these people would have fought hard to win. And it's really sad to see it end like this.
Yes. Also with us tonight is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I'm doing good. I co-signed that as well. It was so heartwarming to see how much they really enjoyed each other's company and how much they enjoyed the game, how hungry they were to win the game. And there were a lot of people in that house who thought they knew what they were doing. They did not know what they were doing. Let me just say that. But some of them did. And I enjoyed very much the way the show handled it. In fact, I thought it was one of their best episodes in years, which is crazy considering how the circumstances were.
Yeah, I will say an emotional final episode, which was expected. I was very much prepared to just be devastated for them. I think the fact that it was actually like a week removed from when it actually happened kind of softened the blow a bit. Like we've kind of had a week to prepare for this, so it didn't hit quite as hard as I thought it would. But it was still very very emotional, very sad. As the entire cast is hearing that it's over, that's it, and for most of them, I imagine that's it for good.
Yeah. That's the thing. Well, I mean, Melissa, we've talked about this, but like I know that some of these people have designs on hoping to get brought back for an all-star season or season 9 or a half and half season, and maybe a few of them could possibly maybe be brought back. My read on the situation would be that Big Brother just wants to forget about this altogether, because aside from the fact that it was destroyed by COVID-19, this season was a disaster almost from start to finish. So I think it's going to go the way of the dinosaur.
It's really too bad. I mean, like, there are some really strong people in the cast, and you know, speaking of, you know, the emotional blow last night, originally, at the start of the episode, I was like, this is so overdramatic, like with the whole like, as the world changes, we change with them or something. It was just like something weird like that. And I was like, okay, like, all right, sure. But then like when you actually saw the reaction of like Brooke and Sheldon and Maddie just starts crying, it's like you really feel for them. I mean, I thought like, okay, yeah, I'm just watching this episode, that's fine, until I realized that I had literally had tears streaming down my face the whole time. Like, I didn't realize I was like so affected until I just was like, oh wait, I'm totally crying right now.
Yeah. This is really, you know, I thought that they did a good job for the most part. And like in a weird way, this is a very refreshing episode of the show, for me at least. Like, it was very emotional, it was very sad. I didn't like watching it, I didn't like enjoy the experience, but it was refreshing in how real it felt. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you're so used to these canned DR lines and these like the typical structure of an episode and like it, all of the nonsense that's happening. Just the fact that these people were just real and raw and, you know, just experiencing this. We were watching scenes linger and not have to be like chopped up like crazy. And we were watching them break down in the diary room, just talk like a normal person. And instead of, you know, having to do the line.
Right. I was so struck by the silence in the diary room. So much of the time you would see someone and they would start a sentence and they would just sigh or look down, or, you know, just seconds would tick by, and it was captivating television.
I think they did it. I think it was well done too. Like, I feel like they weren't in the beginning. I was a little concerned because they were, you know, when they started talking about like the world is crazy. I know I keep saying that, but it's really stuck with me of how like cheesy that was.
Okay, the real line was I can't remember. It was like, we know that when you're in the Big Brother house, that the game can become your world, but now we have to bring you back to the real world.
Yeah. It was like some weird, like, and like, it just felt like overdramatic. And I was like, this is going to be like a lot, but then I really did feel like they did a good job of capturing like, just like the devastation, but also, you know, pulling in the fact that like, there was still references to like, yeah, I know that things that this is not like what everyone's thinking of right now. Like everyone in the real world is dealing with their own things. Like there is like, you know, a lot of serious stuff going on in the real world. And this is not that, but it's still devastating to have your dream taken from you. And so like, I felt like they struck a good balance with that. And then with, you know, showing the comedic parts, we can get to that obviously. But like, I do feel like there was a good balance where it was like, it wasn't just like overly dramatic and overly, you know, it felt real.
Yeah, it felt very Big Brother Canada in that like they have this really emotional and raw moment and they're like so extra about it. But it kind of works. And I feel like that's just Big Brother Canada in a nutshell, where it's like they like overproduce it to some degree,
possibly.
but also underproduce it sometimes. And I did feel like, for me, the main thing that I felt was missing was this like fabled dinner conversation.
Yes.
They talked about all of their alliances. Yeah. And it was basically not even there at all. We saw just one tiny bit of Vanessa saying, we were in an alliance called, I think it was KVBS. And that was about it. Like,
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
That is absolutely where they dropped the ball. I mean, that is what we're all looking for. That's what we look for. Like, we're even upset that we don't really get to see that, like the reveal, and like we don't really get to see like the people at home realizing like, oh my God, I've been had by you, like you were working with you, you know. We always want to see that sort of thing. And that's why we like the exit interviews. That's why we like, you know, seeing people's reactions to these things when they, like the second they get out of the house and they find out about it. And most of the time we don't really get that. So this seemed like the perfect opportunity to finally see when they all reveal everything and everyone knows like who was working with who was playing who was betraying you, who was on your side. Like, and we didn't get any of that. Instead, we just got like, I just feel like, I don't even know. I feel like a lot of the episode was taken up by like some great dramatic stuff, but it's like they were missing the key parts.
Yeah, there were way too many hugs for me. It seemed like every time I was looking at the television screen, there was another hug. It was, or oh, another hug, or like, let's hug her, or somebody was crying. And that is great, and that was captivating, but I feel like there was less is more when it comes to that. And I would have appreciated to see some of this. And it wasn't just like we were looking for it. We had heard about this, that you know, we were going to get this from the dinner table. So that's what I was ready for. And then it just never came.
Yeah.
Like, I can already tell you two scenes that you can immediately cut out. One, where Maddie's crying in the have not room and Rhi goes to hug her, but they don't say anything. They just hug. Now, too, when Vanessa and Min are talking, and Min's like, I could get arrested for all the stuff. Weird. I want to tell you stuff outside of the house. It's like, okay, well, great. That does us no good because we don't get to hear any of it. Instead, we're just hearing about how Lee Koo could get arrested if you told the stuff. Like, cut those things. Get those out of there. Replace it with a longer dinner scene. Boom, done.
Well, I think, again, the classic Big Brother Canada, you know, I think that we always talk about, like, the sponsorships, the ads, they get in the way, they take up too much time, and they're not able to tell the full story. But I just don't know. I don't think it's about time. They had plenty of time in this episode. They decided that the game stuff is just not as important as extra long hugging scenes. Like, they just don't like the game stuff. They probably were like, you know what, we haven't shown any of this in the episode, so it probably feels weird to then have Brooke and Sheldon reveal to everyone that they've been playing all sides, and then being shocked, because the audience would probably also be shocked.
Stupid casuals, like, they don't like it when, like, if we saw the dinner conversation and we heard that Brooke and Sheldon were like, yeah, I was in this alliance, and yeah, we were going to betray you, and we were going to betray you. Like, it was apparent to me they wanted Brooke and Sheldon to have their moment. Like, they were the heroes of the story. They showed them sitting next to the one hero will rise sign. They showed them as the final two house guests walking out together at the end. So they didn't want to do anything to make them look bad. And I know that we love what Brooke and Sheldon were doing from a strategic point of view, but, like, the people, the filthy casuals who are watching the show, they will be misled by the fact that Brooke and Sheldon are like, you know, I was going to stab you in the back, and I was going to stab you in the back, and I was lying to you, and I was in an alliance with you, but it didn't really mean anything. It was fake, Hira. You know, all of that would have made them look bad. So I feel like that's why they didn't show any of it.
Also, like, the house guests had to have been reading into that boot order, right?
Oh, yeah.
They kick out the evictors all together. They're like, see ya. And then they're like, Angie, by yourself. Like, and then they leave, like, Vanessa. And then, of course, like, Min and Brooke and Sheldon, of course, they're the last ones because, like, they're like
they're the star of the show.
Yeah,
100% reverse the boot order, and that's the likelihood of them being asked to return.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know that Brooke and Sheldon are probably like, we're here at the end. Like, you knew we were the leaders. Like, you knew we were it.
I will say that initially they called Carol, who I was kind of bitter that Carol got to, like, be a part of this whole thing. Like, she should have been out. Like, let's be. I'm so petty like that, right? So Carol,
Before we have an announcement, but before we make it, Carol, we'd like for you to leave.
Why don't we just, like, get through this, Carol? Just quit. Let's just go, and now we'll do our announcement. Right? So I can't imagine.
The announcement is that we're extending the season for another few months, and if you don't leave now, then you'll be stuck here. I gotta get out of here.
they called Carol first, and Carol's like, yes, my flight's first. I'm like, no, honey, that's not the reason why they're calling you first. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Like, and then I think, like, the house guests were accepting her reasoning until they saw the fact that they called the evictors all together, and then they called Angie by herself. Like, and they, you know, you could see what was happening. So, yes.
I almost felt like they called the evictors next instead of Angie, just so that, like, Carol could see that the evictors all came out together. just so they could be like, no, Carol, this was intentional.
Yeah.
I feel bad because I do like Carol as a person, and I do feel like she had a lot to offer the show. She just didn't, like, want to be there. And I feel like that is what makes me so, like, upset about her is, like, she had so much promise, at least to me. Like, when I saw her intro stuff, I was like, yes, this girl. And I do think, like, if she had cared, like, if she had wanted to be there, I feel like she could have gone far, and I feel like she could have done good things. But it's like, if you don't want to be there, then it just, like, outweighs any good things.
Melissa, Yellow Gal in the chat would like to know, what did she have to offer the show?
I thought she was funny. I thought she was, like, I mean, look, when you see her intro videos, you think she's fun. She thinks she's funny. Like, I felt like she had, like, a loud personality in the intro videos. And I felt like she had, like, she came from, like, different walks of life than other people. I don't know. I just felt like I liked her.
You're an old softy. She was a disappointment from start to finish. I didn't care for any part of her game. She was threatening to quit from the first week. She was threatening to quit at the end. I appreciate you being nice, but
stuff is not good. Like, that's where I'm telling you, I fall off the wagon there. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, but you know, she's great. But I do think that, like, from pregame interviews, like, I thought that she was going to be like, I was worried.
She could have been. She could have been.
I was worried because I thought she'd be like first boot just because, like, maybe she wouldn't fit in with everyone. And then when she wasn't, I was like, yes, okay, great, here we go. And then she just like decided she didn't want to be there. And that's
Brett's in the chat. Brent, weren't you all about her in the intro video cap that you did with Taryn? Yes, we were. Again, like I just said to Melissa, she had potential. But once I saw her in the house and the 4 weeks that we got to spend with her, I feel like that question was asked and answered.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, it's an emotional moment for everyone. And I don't begrudge that she felt emotional with everyone else. But it was a little frustrating to watch her segments on this episode, like, in line with segments of, like, Brooke and Sheldon and Sue, like, people who really, really, really cared and wanted to be there and could have been there forever. You know, cut to, like, Carol being like, oh, man, it's so sad. Like, you didn't even want to be there. Like, I get it.
Happy now. Because, like, everyone else is like, oh, well, there is no winner. It's not really that I quit. It's really just, like, we all can continue. Like, no. Mm-hmm. We all know. Mm-hmm. She had only held out for like one more day and she could have been like,
by the way, didn't she say there was going to be like a statement released or something, or she had a statement. She said she had a statement, but then Global was going to do something with this finale show or something.
Wait till after the finale to release your statement. So she said, after the finale, I'll release my statement.
But now she can't because, as Taryn noted on our Twitch show earlier today, Global has said that there's a total ban on Big Brother Canada house guests talking to the media.
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't that just be like on her Twitter or something?
I'm hearing that she did release it on Facebook.
Oh, fabulous. Tell me what it said. Any news?
So far, the only report is it was stupid.
It was stupid.
Just reading the chat.
All right, we talked enough about Carol. Fine.
Yes, but that is something that we should talk about here, the interview situation. The last week, there have been assumptions made. There have been sort of, things have been in motion to get some interviews with the house guests after the finale. I've heard that that other people even had things like solidly scheduled. However, at some point over the last couple of days, word came down from Global that there are to be no interviews with the Big Brother Canada 8 house guests, no talking to them, not allowed to release any kind of interview with the Big Brother Canada 8 house guests. I was told that I would be notified when the ban is lifted. So there's a chance that the ban will be lifted. I mean, they can't like stop us forever, right? Like at some point we're going to be able to talk to them.
What is the benefit of that? I feel like, shouldn't they want more publicity? Like, shouldn't they want more people talking about the show?
As Taryn theorized on his on the Twitch show that we did earlier
very,
today.
Very much. I was given no explanation. Yes. Very much just like pure speculation.
Part. Yeah, let's make that clear. But the house guests have been fighting a little bit since they've been out of the house on their Instagrams and disagreeing about the circumstances under which Jamar and Kyle were booted from the house. And it is Taryn's speculation, and I concur with it, that if there is a reason, that is the reason why they do not want the house guests airing out all of this stuff.
Couldn't they just say like don't discuss the Jamar Kyle situation? Like, just like, you can only talk about like your game and like stuff like
that. I would be shocked if they haven't already said that multiple times to the house guests, and I don't think it's worked. So that would be, again, my speculation because they were definitely told, do not say anything about Kyle and Jamar. And they have definitely not followed that direction. So,
and why would they, their dream is cut short. They're out of the house. There's no money for them or anything. I think the only thing that Global could hang over them is the potential of being asked back, which someone who watched Kirsten McInnes get her dream ripped away from her on Big Brother Canada 6, I can tell you that that kind of hope is it's like a wing and a prayer. Like these people, they're not coming back.
Yeah. But that's what we have. That no interviews are going to be coming. As soon as I'm able to, I will talk with some of these house guests. I promise. Of course, in particular, Brooke and Sheldon. And many others, I'm sure. It's not going to be until the ban is lifted. So I don't know when that will be, but rest assured, if especially again, Brooke or Sheldon want to come on the podcast and talk about whatever they have
Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They could come on and talk Survivor. That'd be cool. You know, they could do that. I'd be up for that. Yeah. I this is also a bit weird, by the way, because you know that we've never had this before, because anytime we have a podcast like about an episode, it's the only time where house guests are at home is like the finale. But by then, yeah, like, you know, like they're at the parties or whatever. So like this might be the first time that house guests are watching us live talking about the episode. And, you know, they're watching us. I'm just saying.
There are. So, yeah.
Yeah, there were people commenting on our Brant Steele yesterday.
Oh, yes, which ones?
Sue did.
Jean-Luc did.
Yeah, Jean-Luc did.
Yeah.
And Brooke was liking the tweets.
Yeah, Brooke was liking
them. I know all these things.
Yes. I also got a lot of feedback. I got a couple tweets about this from the Brant Steele podcast. People basically in so many words.
Sheldon liked one of them. Sorry.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Basically people saying that Taryn was, running over me and Melissa in the Brant Steele podcast. Let me just say, you guys get off Taryn's back, because I was not having it with the Brant Steele podcast. Yeah, I did not want to be there.
Things to say when you're speculating.
My tooth was hurting. I had a headache, and I was over the decisions that the fictional house guests were making in the simulation. So the fact that Taryn was in there and putting in 110% effort, I was all for. And when have you ever known me to be quiet on a podcast before? So lay off.
Yeah, I don't know if they noticed, but I was desperately flinging it away as often as I could, because and I was not getting a lot.
Sorry, I'm so bad at that.
No, it's fine.
No,
also I'm like, seriously, I'm running on like 2 hours sleep with this new puppy. Like I'm getting no sleep. So I was like trying to keep my eyes open.
It's like having a baby.
Yeah. It is like having a baby. Crazy. She wakes up every 2 hours. I take her out, and she then at 4 a.m. she decides that's morning. It's a nightmare. She's cute, God. But it's, I don't know. It's hard.
All right. So we did conduct the Brant Steele, and it did tell us that Sheldon is the official winner of Big Brother Canada 8. Yes. It wasn't the cleanest win.
Yeah, but it seems realistic. I'll go with it.
It does. And you know what? The producers, I think, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, they left him and Brooke till the very end.
Yeah. I will say the point in the episode where I thought was a little bit fake, just a little bit. You know where it is? When Arissa came on and said, "I'm sure you're all wondering what's going to happen with the $100,000," and they're like, "Yeah,
oh yeah, that was definitely like, reshot."
Yeah, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm giving it to charity," and they're all like,
"Yay,
that's great!"
Golf claps.
There was not enough disappointment on their face for that to be the first take of that response.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, like Brooke goes like this or something, and I was like, "Oh." She's not super happy about that. And then the next shot, she's like, yeah, she's like,
Right. That's what we should do.
I'm like, please. No, stop. I know what this means.
Just give us the real tea. We know. Come on. It's okay. Like the other thing that I know that people feel like they have to do this. You know, this happens like when in other parts of life where bad things happen and you feel the need to say, well, you know, of course I understand that we need to do this, but it still really sucks. I'm fine with just people saying, you know what, this really bites. This sucks.
Yeah. You know, like, I totally get why they're like, I mean, they can't be like, what, you're giving it to charity?
They well, have not to just do that. Just like the end of the show. I felt them all qualifying the
no,
end of the
they
show,
did.
Like, where they were like, well, I understand that this is for the best, but it sucks having your dream cut short.
Yeah,
but I'm like, sure they're going to get hate, though, all over the internet if they're like, this sucks. Like, I don't care about COVID.
Why do you say that far?
No, I know, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, they have to be like, you know, obviously there's big things going on in the world, and I feel, like, so sorry for all the people that are, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry if you hear this.
Well, here's the thing. Even with the qualifications, I saw them getting hate. Like, oh, Can you believe how upset they are that their dumb show ended?
Which is crazy. Like I mean,
there's bigger things going on in the world. Like
terrible.
It's so annoying. Like it's we all get it. Like we all get it. But there is also like you're allowed to be upset about things. Like it's not like you have to.
Yes, and it was
about
so great. But Melissa, and, like, it was so great to see Brooke and Sheldon, especially who I felt like I was most invested in from a personal point of view. Although I love Min, and you know they're different things, and I love Chris, but Brooke and Sheldon were the people that I was like I could see myself really identifying with, and to see them just absolutely. Mm-hmm. Broken at this was in a weird way it was really great to see, because then I just said to myself, you know what, they're like me, like they absolutely lived for this game and mm-hmm. they really wanted to win it.
Yeah, and of course right away, like you see Brooke, like this definitely hits. I think the three people hit the hardest were Brooke, Sheldon, and Sue. And I think Hero was really hit hard. Obviously, they were all hit very, very hard. But, you know, I think that some of them were more in it. Some of them felt like they had a better chance than others. You could really see it crushing Brooke. I mean, especially for Brooke, who, and look, like, you know, it feels even weirder to speculate about like showman's things now because they're potentially watching. But like, I mean, it was there. And like, I'm sure that a part of this was losing the game, but a part of it was also losing Sheldon, right? Like, they're not going to be spending time together anymore. And that's also a brutal hit.
Like you don't get to see how that relationship could have developed. Like instead, it's just like, oh, well, that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And when you possibly could have, you know, had something develop, had they been there for a little longer.
You also don't get to see what would have happened at the end if one of them would have cut the other. Because we saw Brooke in the beginning of the game talking about the fact that she recognized that Sheldon was her main competition if she got to the end of the game. But as time wore on, I felt like she would not have cut him. I almost wanted Min at the end to say, okay, let's pretend this is the final three and each of you wins HOH. Would you take each other to the end, or would you take me and have the guaranteed win? Like, come on, what would you do? Like, but we didn't get that.
I thought Min was going to be like, all right, guys, make out. But then I realized that she thought Sheldon was into her, and I was okay. Yeah. Probably not going to happen. But yeah, so they're made aware. Super brutal for me at least to watch Sheldon, who is such a stoic guy. I've talked about this before, but I really relate to just the stoicism that Sheldon has. That's it really is sort of how I live my life as well. I try to like there are things that are important to me, and you know, everything else, like it's important, but like I try to hold on to my core things that can't be taken away from me. And, you know, luckily, being on Big Brother is not one of them. cute puppies though, definitely are.
Sorry to interrupt your strategy session.
Yes. For those of you who are listening to the audio version, Melissa has the puppy that we were talking about a few minutes
she's
ago.
She's so fluffy.
Super adorable.
She's a sheepadoodle, so she's going to be pretty big. She's half old English sheepdog and half poodle.
What's her name?
Riley.
Riley. Such a person name.
Check out my Instagram.
Like there are pet names and there are personhood names. I feel like that's a person name. So, she's like a member of the family.
Anyway, sorry. I'll let her go back.
No, you should have a puppy. I'm enjoying the puppy.
Everyone in the chat was like, we want to see her. So I was like,
yeah, okay. Man, Kellis has nothing on that puppy. I'll just say that.
Let's not get crazy.
You don't listen to Twitch. That's Taryn's cat, by the way.
Yes.
Taryn's cat's very cute.
Yes, very cute.
Yeah. Very brutal for seeing Sheldon break down. This guy who like showed very little emotional reaction to really anything. You can tell how devastating this is to him. Watching him with Brooke was just really heartbreaking. We hear, we even hear from Vanessa, who is also having a hard time with this. And she talks about how just days before coming onto the show, I think she said it was her captain, of the boat she worked on, ended up taking his own life. And she almost didn't even come on the show. And she didn't tell anybody in the house. And like genuinely, like she's been processing trauma this whole time, and like I can kind of make a little more sense as to like why she has been so hard to read. I think that, like, of course, if you're processing trauma, like you're going to have a harder time like operating normally, right? You know, I don't want to read too much into that, but that's terrifying it's heartbreaking to hear. The fact that this is now, you know, ending her experience there as well, it's awful.
Yeah, that was honestly, like, I feel like I saw Vanessa in like a different way. I feel like we, you know, joke all the time, like, oh, Vanessa, what's she doing? She's crazy. She's wild. Like, whatever. Like, she's, you know, who knows what she's thinking. But, you know, to see her like talk like that, it just honestly, like, I felt for her. And, you know, and I felt this way about a few of the people when they talked about how much they cared about the game and how this was impacting them, the fact that the game was ending. Like, some of these people, I honestly thought they didn't care at all about the game. And then to see, you know, them talk about how this had been a dream of theirs and how they were, like, you know, devastated by this and just like crying in the diary room, like, it made me really see a lot of these houses in a different way. I mean, like, even like Angie, when she talked about quitting her job and coming out here, taking this risk, you know, doing, like, I mean, having this be a dream of hers, like, it does make me like reevaluate these people and reevaluate, like, I mean, it's totally, I know you guys are all gonna like just like rip me to shreds for saying this, but it is totally possible that Angie was laying low and was gonna turn it on. I swear, like, everyone,
oh shoot,
like, everyone's okay, like, Melissa, you're crazy, she is, this is not a play, she didn't have any strategy, but like, I mean, we maybe just didn't get to see some of these people blossom, and it's sad, you know? I don't know.
Okay, I will totally grant that Angie was laying low. Yeah. That has never been in dispute.
She said she was doing that.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like laying low to then turn it on, not just laying low and that's all she has.
Yeah, I know, but I agree. I, like, that's always why I was, like, giving her fours in the Stockwatch. The question for me was always, what happens when she turns it on, right?
Yeah, like, because we saw Jessica turn it on in Big Brother 21, yeah, and then we saw what happened with that. So I was circumspect of two things. What would be her plan of action, and how does she see the house? And two, even if she does turn it on, in a universe where these people don't really respect her all that much, how is she going to win at the end? That is where I was coming from with Angie.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. I just felt like, I don't know, I felt like I had a lot of respect for the house guests from this episode. And I do think that they portrayed them all in a good light and showed you, you know, that they're all human and that, you know, this meant something to them, just like it means something to all of us. And so that made me feel, you know, it made me feel for them. So,
yeah. And it's an important reminder that the, you know, they are characters on a screen that we watch and we talk about and we poke fun at and we, you know, we dissect every little thing that they do, but they are humans, and you know, when they leave the show, they should be treated as such because that's what they are. And this is definitely a reminder that that they are just people. They all wanted to be there, they all dreamed of being there, you know, minus one. And so it's important to remember that, and I feel like that's part of what's happening with this, the situation, the world at large, is that hopefully we're all understanding just a little bit better about the people around us, and we're being brought a little bit closer to humanity at large, because we're all just struggling with the same thing right now, and it's something that we can really connect on and empathize with. And I think that we should take that opportunity when it comes, because it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare that an opportunity like that comes up. So it's a humbling moment, and it's a good reminder of our own humanity, I guess.
Very well said, Taryn.
Thank you.
I will say that I enjoyed very much the moment between Min and Angie, who were mortal enemies in the house. They got to hug it out, and I don't know if we heard everything that they had to say to each other, but we got to see a little bit. And, you know, as Rob says, when he's always talking about Survivor in the reunion episode, even though this wasn't, you know, the reunion episode, but this was the finale, it's nice when they can just, you know, hug it out at the end and say, you know, that was the game and we got it. And, you know, everyone's happy and leave it at that. Now, of course, we know from watching Instagram and whatnot that that hasn't really held totally. But at least for the episode, we got it.
Yeah.
This also, I just was going to say, I hate this, but I'm conflating our podcast, the Brant Steele stuff, with real life. Because I was just thinking in my head when you were like, oh, there's drama between Angie or whatever. And I was like, yeah, the mattress thing when she flipped the mattress. And I was like, wait, what? That's not real. But it popped into my head oh, Angie and the mattress. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I think I'm running on no
save
TV.
Me. Save me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was a bonding moment for them all. And it was a reminder that they're all human. And that was a great thing. And then a day later, social media just immediately tore them apart. The dehumanization that occurs on social media.
Again, true. When you're behind a screen, it's so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see Sue? She was like, hi, Min. I'm just here to let you know that my life is fine. I'm doing great. So keep my name out of your fucking mouth. Okay, thanks. Bye. they were not having it. They were through.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to just stop with the drama. It's just, it's like, I don't know, like, who was it who said this? Was it Anthony who said, or no, who was it?
Bruno,
when he's like, the fans are gonna egg you on and get you to be like, yeah, go for it, but they're not looking out for your best interest. They just want drama. They're not like, no, this is the right thing to do, you need to call this girl out. Like, they just want to see drama. So don't feed into it. Just step away from social media if you have to, and don't respond to people. It's better to just not respond.
Yeah,
I was like, Bruno's ruining all our fun.
Well, I saw that some people talk about this tweet on Reddit, oh, come on, you know, the house guests are responsible for their own actions. You know, it's not like their people are calling, you know, for this to happen. You can't blame it all on that. I don't think people that aren't in the house guest shoes understand the reality that they walk out into, that they have no experience dealing with this kind of attention. They have vague ideas of what it's like to have quote unquote fans. And so the people that they hear from earliest and most often are the most intense people who are the most,
I feel like you were ready to say crazy invested, and I'm ready to agree with that.
The most invested in the drama and the situation of everything that's happening, and they're immediately just being constantly fed information, misinformation all the time. I checked on Maddie's first Instagram live and there were people in the chat saying Brooke is a B. She was jealous of you the whole time. Don't trust anything she says. She was against you. She wanted you out because she was jealous of you and Michael. And it's, you know, don't trust her. That's the kind of nonsense that they're getting fed. And these people saw more than they do. They don't know what's true, what's fake. You know, they have some people telling them that this is what happened. Don't trust this person. Do trust this person. And it's again, the most intense people that are talking to them most often and earliest. And so they're getting all kinds of, you know, misinformation and
right,
antagonizing things, and you know, it's hard to it's hard again if you don't
it's
understand
hard to sort through it.
Yeah, especially coming right out of a house, you're this is your introduction into this world. It's a very difficult thing to manage, and so, you know, it certainly does not mean that I'm these people are handling it well, but I do think that we can say that, you know, it's a hard thing to manage. And
oh, yeah.
We can understand that that this position that they're in. And Bruno's advice is great advice for these house guests.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just being funny before. It really is great advice from Bruno, because you don't know what's happening. You don't understand what it's like to respond to, like, you go from like 100 followers to like 5,000 followers overnight. You have all these people who are tweeting you, and they're all tweeting you right now. They may not be tweeting you, you know, a month from now, but they're tweeting you right now to get you to respond to something, or to egg you on, or to tell you about what they think about so-and-so. And everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own grudge. And I do think it's probably best for the house guests just to, you know, well, like a couple things, say a couple things to, you know, hey, I appreciate all the support, and just step away from social media.
Yeah. Well, and like they're getting hate and they're getting support, and like the supporters are like fighting off the haters. And when you feel attacked like that, you cling to the people that are helping you, that are making you feel good. And so you come to rely on those people. And again, those are not necessarily the most reliable people. If you see that. And so like you can really just get lost in that whole situation. If you don't know what you're doing, and you don't have like somebody who's been through it there to help guide you. So, you know, just having a little bit of understanding, I think, can go a long way. That's social media for you. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. I did enjoy the clips for the most part. I think, honestly, I said I enjoyed the clips. I didn't enjoy the clips. I just enjoyed the Chris one.
Yeah,
we saw like
the only one I enjoyed,
we saw
too.
Like the Min alcohol one, which was like, okay, cute, but like not mind-blowing. Like they're gonna have a giggle over it. And then we got the Angie falling asleep one. Of all the clips from all the episodes, we see we have to watch Angie fall asleep. Even Angie was confused about like, what is this?
They're like, what did she do there? They're like, what'd you do there, Angie? She's like, I don't know.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much better stuff to show.
How was that one of the clips in the highlight reel? The obviously Chris not recognizing his mom had to be shown, should have been shown, was fantastic. But just the rest of it. Like there was other stuff. Like show Sheldon in the diary room talking about how he doesn't give a shit about any of those people. Sue ranting about Min. Give us some like juicy
give
stuff.
Us something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. And I feel like they also made a point to put Kyle and Jamar in clips. So that way it's like, see, look, no hard feelings. Check it out. Here they are. You know, they're fun.
Yeah, that's the thing too with Jamar, where like they showed the clip of Jamar and Min kissing, and then Jamar like making a funny face afterward, but not showing the clip of Jamar like wiping off his tongue, going like, ugh, get her out, like washing his mouth out, like, I gotta get rid of her. Like, that's way funnier. And she's gonna see it. Like, it's not like you're protecting her from this clip. Like, it would have been way more fun to see the reaction in the moment, because, like, you know, it's like, whatever. Like, they're gonna experience this anyway. Have them experience it when they can still talk it through with everyone else. Obviously not the Jamar thing, but, like,
right.
You know, it's, just give us some more.
Yeah, I know. They
didn't want to get into any like fights or anything. I think they just wanted to be like, okay, everyone, like,
yeah,
kumbaya, happy, everyone's joy, happy, and yeah, like everyone, exactly, leave as like a dramatic like we love each other, like, and we're all going to get through this together kind of thing.
Yeah, this was a clip that that we would have seen on a normal episode of the show.
Like AD in the chat, Melissa says they should have aired the mattress flipping.
Yeah, what the heck? That didn't even make it on air. And what about when Sheldon uses veto on Chris twice?
Right.
We then got family messages. You know, some of these were nice, but
well, they're going to see them like tomorrow. What the hell? Yeah.
I don't know.
But I will say I really liked Angie's family. They were really cute.
They were great.
most of these didn't really land super well.
And some of them were really short. Angie's went on forever. Other people's was like, hi.
And then yeah, and Sheldon got just like his best friend.
Right. Then Sheldon's best friend.
What?
I was like, okay.
Okay.
I like so Vanessa's many questions. Dad.
So many questions about Sheldon's best friend.
Maybe they were showing it to show Brooke, like, hey.
Right. Like, first, why is it his best friend that's leaving a message and not his mom or his brother or any of his actual family? Second, your best friend?
Yeah, your best friend.
This is the most amount of doubt I've ever had about Sheldon and Brooke. it's fine, but I'm sure Brooke was not loving the best friend.
Yeah.
I am not one to cast aspersions on having good looking friends. It was just a little surprising in the moment, I think.
Well, it was weird because also it was supposed to be, I feel like it was intended to be like, hey, everyone, like, this is reassuring you that your family's okay. Like, you know, yeah. We've just told you that the season's over because of COVID-19. And now, like, here's your family, though. So, you know, like, everything's cool. Like, don't be worried about like the outside right now. Like, but instead they're just like, oh, yeah, Sheldon, like, who knows where your family is? Like, this is your friend. Like, it just seemed weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
And also, like, we don't need to see that stuff. Like, I feel like we don't need to see, they're about to see their family in like 2 seconds. Like, just like, let's see more of that dinner table scene.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But I did think Chris's mom, when she's like, you may remember me from the Wendy's takeout window.
Yes. That was a great line. best line of the episode.
That was good. And when everyone's like, you let a Wendy's worker just kiss you? And he's like, no, that was after. And they're like, no, it wasn't. That was funny.
Yeah. And so then they get to revealing some secrets, but not the ones we care about. First, we start with JL. And JL, you're great. But this was ill-advised. All right, guys. Here's my secret. All right, yeah. So I bet you all like thought I was like pretty dumb, right? And they're like, no, we think you're pretty smart, actually. Like, yeah, yeah. But, you know, like you think I'd be dumb, right? Like, no, actually, like we think you're pretty smart. Well, you know, I'm actually really smart. I'm actually a really smart person. Valedictorian at my, you know, high school, college, whatever it was, get good grades and stuff. So,
And he's like, GPA. I think I have one of the, like, he said I have the one of the highest IQs in here. It's like,
yes,
but you don't know that. Like, how do you know that?
And then he goes, and I've got like one of the highest IQs in the house. And I was like, oh,
so cringe.
Bragging
so
about cringe. Your IQ is like the lowest form of, you know, anything. Especially because he's like, it's for the rest of the house. Like, he's saying, I have a higher IQ than you.
Yeah, like, I'm smarter than you guys. It's like, it's different. Like, saying you're valedictorian, that you get really good grades, like, and you are trying to play up being dumb, like, totally fine. But then saying, like, yeah, I'm smarter than all you guys. So.
Anytime you have to tell people how smart you are, you're losing.
It's not good.
It was straight out of Nathan for You. I graduated from business school with really good grades.
Ill-advised.
He has talked about this before in the house, and he said he was told that he had one of the highest IQs, and that's why he knows.
Okay. Well, I guess that's better, but still.
Yeah, you know, well, maybe he doesn't really know a lot about IQ And like, this is the first time he's really been tested. And so he kind of doesn't know that you're not supposed to say you have really high IQ. Yeah, but JL, if you're watching now, you know, show don't tell. Then we hear from Chris, who says, yeah,
you know, oh yeah.
I'm like a neuroscientist, I do a hypnotism.
I have clients.
And then everyone like throws away the hypnotism thing. And they're like, but neuroscientist, whoa. And like, just like, it doesn't even want to address the hypnotism thing until someone's like, can you hypnotize all of us? And he's like, no.
Which was, I got to give him credit, the right answer.
Yes. Oh my God. If he had tried to hypnotize everybody, no.
Yeah. I wish that in the clip montage they showed, they cut in the video that we watched in the preseason of Chris Wiley Game Changer talking with the music.
That would have been great.
That
would have been good times. And then we had Sheldon.
Yes, professional wrestler. Not a ton of reaction from this.
I loved Sheldon because he qualified it beforehand with, okay, it's not a big deal. I'm not like famous or anything, but I'm a professional wrestler. I was like, oh, that's how you do it.
Everyone always tries to like talk up their accomplishments that are like kind of ridiculous, you know, like it just reminds me of like Bronte or whatever. And like, I feel like you've got to do what Sheldon did. And that's the way that like people will be impressed, because you're not trying to make them be impressed. I don't know. I just feel like there's a way to do it. And that's the best way, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, when he says pro wrestler, their minds might go to like, oh, like WWE, like he's like, I do it for a living. But it's not like a big deal, which is the right way to preface it for sure. So that was about it there. They keep doing like the flashing, the time stamps. I actually like this. I wish they would do this more often, of like giving us a sense of chronology.
So you know if something's like that night or like the next day or like 5 minutes later. Like, yeah, I think that's really helpful with understanding like what the sequence of events is.
Yeah. And then I don't know how they managed this, but this was just like a perfectly shot scene of Sheldon waking up. And I will admit that I knew that Brooke had been asking Sheldon to sleep in the HOH room for a long time. He had always turned her down. And I was like, surely they slept in the same bed together on the last night. But Sheldon wakes up. He's seemingly alone. I was like, oh, really? Like, he didn't have her sleep. Maybe this best friend thing is real. Maybe she is just a friend. But then you cut to like Brooke, like opening up the covers, like with the perfect, like sleepy wake up face. And I was like, oh,
yeah. I was fooled by that as well.
Never been so invested in a showman's.
I know, right? We wanted to get together.
Just again, to put this out here, Brooke and Sheldon. It's mostly that there wasn't much else that we had to talk about in the last few weeks, with everything that was going on. We're not creepy, I promise.
I will say that I did get something out of them sitting there at the end in the final two chairs.
Well, yeah, that was like the final moment of the episode that I definitely want to get to. So they wake up and then they start calling people. Carol first. We talked about this. It's probably my flight.
Girl. Okay. Okay, girl.
And then they call the evictors as
evictors
they
assemble.
Go out. Yes, Ree seemed the least affected by far of anybody. Yeah. Which I honestly expected. Like, I'm sure she cared, but like, she's just a super chill person.
I will say if you watch her face when they announced that they're canceling the season, she was the one person who didn't go. Her reaction was literally like. Like, she was pissed. She was over it. She was not having it. So I appreciated that much more than the other reactions.
Yeah, and she spent her time like comforting the others, which I think is very nurse-like, I guess.
Yeah, maybe because she's a nurse, she's thinking about it in a different way and isn't like, you know, I don't know, maybe...
And I hope that I think that she's probably has to, you know, quarantine for a bit, potentially if she is going back to work. But, you know, hopefully she stays safe out there if she does get back to work. You know, it's a very, very noble calling at the moment, not at all moments, but especially in this moment.
No, just this moment. No, it's true though.
Yes. So the evictors head out. You know, JL does the, you know, they head out together, which I thought was appropriate. And then Angie is called out. She looked fantastic in her white like get up thing.
Yeah.
Get up.
It was like a dress, but it was like there's more than that. She had like a was it like a hat or something? I can't remember.
Yeah,
now.
A hat. Yeah.
Yeah, she did great.
Yeah. And then we get this weird scene, with Chris and Sue.
I'm not gonna lie, I like hated it.
Yeah,
I felt really uncomfortable.
There were surprisingly a lot of almost kissing scenes, and this is apparently one of them.
And Sue's got a boyfriend, right?
This was just weird. They go into the bedroom.
No.
Yeah, and there was just a lot of like what are we doing? And like you could tell that like Chris wanted to go for it.
Oh yeah.
But Sue,
the game's over.
Sue
you might
was
as
like,
well.
Yeah, not going for it, but also like she was sad, and so it was like her guard felt a little bit down at the moment. And so it was just kind of like, "Oh, I don't like this. My boyfriend doesn't like this."
I feel like she was thinking like, "Oh, this is like we're comforting each other. This is like a sweet moment." He's thinking like, "I'm comforting, like we're comforting each other, but also like who knows? Like maybe this is it. Maybe this is the moment. Like we're so emotional, we're connected. Like maybe this is it." And maybe she was thinking like not thinking about that.
Yeah,
it's like ooh.
Sue, the entire time in my eyes, Sue has been very respectful to her relationship. Like she has used the flirty card a bit because she was playing the game, but she has never. She has always tried to maintain proper boundaries with Chris. But yeah, we definitely saw that. Like Chris was really, really trying to go for it here.
And to be fair, I don't think it would be fair to say that like, oh, Chris is being creepy or anything like that.
He didn't actually go for it.
No, like he didn't go for anything. It seemed like they were both like in the moment together, but just like us looking in on that and knowing like, oh, there's a boyfriend involved and like, you know, all that, that's what made it weird. I don't think it would have been, if there was no boyfriend involved, I feel like we'd all be like, oh, okay, great, normal, fine. We're like, oh, that's so sad. They're comforting each other. They, you know, they're really connected. They're going to miss each other. But because the boyfriend is involved, it's like, ooh,
by the way,
it was two people with their guards down comforting each other in a really hard time. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the circumstances that they were in. And there has been some drama between Chris and Sue's boyfriend on social media.
Yeah, he called him out. Yeah, I didn't know this. The chat says that Sue's boyfriend went off on Instagram at Chris.
Yeah.
But I guess it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
but was it a few weeks ago?
Well, it wasn't a few weeks ago. I think it was after the season ended. I think after he had talked with Sue.
Right.
I think.
Oh, I don't know. Well, Ryan in the chat is saying it was a couple weeks ago, so that's where I'm getting that.
Maybe it was.
Well, it was like a week ago, I think. Which was still after the season ended.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been over for a while.
That's so crazy. It's been a while. Like it feels like it just ended, but only because we just watched the episode. So,
Kristen,
and also I don't keep up with all the drama.
He was just, you know, he didn't go for it or anything. He kind of wanted to. I think,
there were times when Sue felt uncomfortable.
And emotions were high. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
You know, it's so. Yeah,
she was openly flirting with him to keep him close too. I mean, that became her closest ally in the house there at the end. So
I feel like they were skirting a line, but no, the line didn't get crossed in that scene. So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
like I said, from my perspective, I felt Sue was very respectful to her relationship, and I don't think that there has to be anything else to it. So Then they get called. Big Brother's really shady about this stuff. It's like, and not only like airing this segment, but then calling them out and having them leave together was definitely like, okay. Because Chris was like more loyal to Vanessa. Like he definitely was more loyal to Vanessa. Then we had, of course, Hira the hero. I love that he used the same pun that I did in my draft name. Heroes, heroes. I'm worried that this is the last we're going to see of Hira. Because I really would love to see him back.
I know. I really like him. He's like a character that we haven't seen before. And I just feel like, he was really good. I mean, he could have been really good. So, and he was athletic and he was, you know, strategic. I don't know. I just feel like we're really missing out on a lot of these people, like not being able to see them realize their full potential.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say, and this is not shade, but, well, maybe it is a little bit, but like I wouldn't say Hira was like overly strategic. He was like, he was doing the bare minimum as far as strategy goes to me, like a little bit like A to B from B to C, but there
was,
he was like
a step ahead of a lot of the other people in the house, but it's there fair. Wasn't saying a lot at the time.
But he also had like exponentially improved from where he began. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in some ways where we were a little bit mystified or, you know, it tricked us a little bit into thinking that he has come further, that he's along further because he's come further than other people have.
Mm-hmm. I didn't love the, you know, like, I came here to play with honor and integrity. And, you know, it's,
I feel like he did though. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, this was what he said when he went in.
Yeah. I know, I'll just say, like, I feel like that he's one of those rare people who can get away with that, you know. And
I don't think he would have won without turning on somebody.
Yeah, really, but he could have explained that away.
Well, that's the thing. I think he would have turned on Brooke and Sheldon if given the opportunity, which it didn't look like he was going to have. But if he had been given the opportunity, I think he would have. And I think he would have explained it as, like, they did it first or whatever.
Yeah,
but, like,
it's usually what people do.
Come on, it's you're just being the thing that I can't remember the word for semantics at that point. I don't love that, but I do love Hira, and so very sad too. To see Hira go. And then our final four, it's Brooke, Sheldon, Min, and Vanessa.
What a combo.
So Vanessa gets sent out, and then it's down to just Min, Brooke, and Sheldon. And
stars of the show.
Yeah. Their final three pulled through. They made it to the final three. Although we could have said that about any pair, right, or any trio at this point. But then they send out, and I will say this whole time I was just like, I hope it's Brooke and Sheldon at the end. Like, that is the right cinematic ending to this season. Yep. And they did not disappoint this time. They
stuck the landing,
Min. Yeah, they send Min out. She said, I'm not supposed to leave. I'm the cockroach. But she does. And I, like, if I'm one of these house guests, I'm just like, please don't call me. Like, please let me be the last one in the house. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
Please let me be the last one so I can know that like my story mattered.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it leaves Brooke and Sheldon in there, and like 100%. They were one doing this because they were, this Brooke and Sheldon were like the storyline. They were also doing this. They were really trying to get like a one lovey moment here with Brooke and Sheldon. And like,
kisser,
you can see.
I know, it's like,
yep, yeah, like you and I talked about this, that I've seen this play out on the feeds before, and people were like, "You're reading into it." Some people are like, "You're reading into it." We saw this like very clearly portrayed to us that there is some very obvious like yes, no. she like, you could see it in her, you could see it, she was going for it, and he was like and he didn't go for it, and then like he,
what a good ending that would have been though. I mean, can you imagine?
Well,
they would have played it up though.
Yeah, he played the he pulled the, you know, the, he he like put her his arm around her, and she like she kept her face moving toward him, but then he kind of just did like the face wrap around, like the that kind of deal to avoid the kiss, right? And then he kisses the floor.
It's like, no, that's the moment the producers were looking for. You just know it, and it was like, yes, and
before. Then
because it's like, you think like, okay, we're the last two in here, like there's no one to see us besides, you know, the cameras, like this isn't about the game anymore, like let's just, you know, but
yeah,
I don't think he sees her that way. I really
supposedly
don't.
He's liking tweets about it, so you know,
I don't know. Maybe now that he sees the fans love it, so
yeah.
Hey, if we can be the reason that this facilitates something, so be it. I'm cool.
Yeah, I just don't want to see her get hurt.
You well, know? Like he like in the, like in classic Sheldon here, he says, "I love you, girl," which is like, oh, that's a blow. But then he's also like, "You are the best part of this experience, bar none." It's like, oh,
he's literally like up, down, up, down.
And like, look, I think there are certainly different, you know, ways you can read into it. Like if I'm Sheldon, I don't want to have a dramatic kiss on TV. That's just not who I am. And so I think that he feels the same way. Like if I were in that position, I would have just waited until we walked out the door. That would have been what I did.
You wouldn't have done the movie moment?
No, because look, it's just not what I'm there for. It's just not, it's not what I'm about. I certainly could see that as being the motivation. And, you know, it is definitely possible that the other motivation is that he just genuinely didn't want to. And you know, that it just didn't happen. However, Anthony, a lot of people, but I saw Anthony tweet this out, just like, you just kiss her, man. And apparently Sheldon liked that tweet as well. So
maybe he realizes he missed a moment there.
Or maybe he waited until they walked out the door.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't get those exit interviews. We don't know.
So, I will say again, I feel very weird talking about this.
I love it because Taryn doesn't usually talk about stuff like this, but this is usually the trashy little section for me, Melissa.
It was literally like the storyline of the ending here at this point. For the record, I did not look at Sheldon. I've seen people say that they saw that Sheldon liked the tweet, it's weird because again, I don't usually care about the showmances anyway, but then also now that they are like potentially listening, it's like even weirder. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, but it was the story of the thing. And honestly, Sheldon, I think the fact that you didn't kiss her actually made it more of a moment than it would have been, if I'm being honest. I don't know if it was the best strategy ultimately, if that was the goal. But I do apologize. it's my job. I got to do it. Sorry. So there you go. That's the end. That's it. The lights turn off.
I will say that the only time I've seen anybody kiss the floor is like in figure skating. Sometimes at the Olympics, they'll kiss the ice, you know, like after they've done a good job. But when he kissed the floor, I was like, oh, like, and then like, oh, well, you know, oh, well.
I just felt it felt to me like Sheldon in the moment was just focused a little bit more on the loss of the game. And you know, he'll deal with the other situation later. Right. But, in the moment, he's just still, I think, devastated at the loss of the game. And I'm sure that played a big role of it, big role in it as well. But they walk out. Brooke walks out first, then Sheldon. Sheldon is the last one out. But that actually does mean that if we're going by this to place people, that Brooke actually won, because the winner always walks out before the runner up to the confetti. So just something to note.
Is that in response to the people saying that I won the draft because Sheldon was the last person to walk out of the house?
Well, if you put it that way, clearly Brooke was the winner and thus I won the draft. I don't know about that.
I would have loved to see if we had the John and Netta moment where they get really close as the season goes along, they make it to the final three, one of them wins HOH, and then they have to make a decision about what they're going to do. Because as the way things stood at the end of this episode, it looked like they would have stayed true to each other and taken each other to the final two. And they may have done that at the end. I would have loved to have seen that, you know, because we haven't seen that before.
Yeah. And they played a dramatic song, too. That was
the Billie Eilish song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how much did they pay for the rights to that?
I don't know.
Billie Eilish is a hot commodity lately. I hear that she played at the Oscars. She did the James Bond song, and now
one of those Grammys,
Big Brother Canada 8.
Yes, Big Brother
Canada. Really, really, really hot right now. Chris never voted. Brooke never voted.
Yep,
and Hira. Hira never voted.
That's
Hira
crazy.
Never voted.
Oh no, sorry, he did vote because he was taken. Yeah. He took himself off the block. So it's just Brooke and Chris, and you know, Michael. that's what we had. It was well put together. Again, very Big Brother Canada that interestingly produced, but was missing the real heart of what I wanted from it, which was the game stuff.
Game stuff. It got to halfway through, I was like, what else is there to do? They already told them the news within the first 3 minutes. And then what? Yeah. Now we just watch family videos and people hugging.
I will say this. If Brooke and or Sheldon do get brought back, this was probably the best case scenario for them, in that on the show itself, it was never really revealed what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Sheldon has those diary rooms of I don't care about anyone in here, I'll do whatever it takes. But that's pretty generic. He was pretty kind of open about that to the house guests in general. You know, I feel for anybody that is not into the feeds, I feel like the reputation might not precede them quite as much as it otherwise could. He's just gonna watch out for people that listen to the podcast or know the show well enough to watch the feeds.
Yeah. Well, that's all we got.
That's all we got.
I know, it's so sad. It's like, usually our finale podcasts are there's so much to discuss, this is the winner, this is what happened, and now it's just kind of well, that's that.
Yeah, I'd fade out if I could. Bet there's a way, but I haven't done it before.
Just kiss the floor and then we'll all just leave, or kiss our mics and then we'll leave.
So that's what we have. I said, unfortunately, no interviews for now. Of course, just keep an ear to the ground on that. We will do some kind of wrap up roundtable where we give all the players final overall ratings as well as the season itself. It should be an interesting experiment there. Not entirely sure when we'll do that. We usually try to wait until we have some interviews in before we do that. We'll see where that comes down, but keep an eye out for some off-season content. We will definitely be producing some of that on the way. I'm going to try and produce some regular off-season podcasts. Lots of different topics I'm looking at, we can certainly update the winner rankings. We can do more brand steals if you want.
Never.
Never.
It will be a cold day in hell before we are doing another brand steal podcast. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just like diving into other topics, like, you know, like I, there's a lot of interesting things that we can sort of like do deep dives in, like concepts, you know, strategies in Big Brother, different sorts of like, topics that we can just dive into, as well as like rankings and lists and all of that stuff. So we're going to, you know, keep you guys.
I like the topics more than, I mean, I like doing, you know, a rankings podcast I like, but. You know, because it's, I can be a little messy sometimes with my rankings. But I think the topics more interest me because I feel like they're more open ended and we can really take it places. And you know, there's more there. I've had a couple of people write me with some ideas.
So, yes, I have many ideas. There's plenty to talk about. So we'll keep you guys fed with Big Brother content in the off season as you know, you're stuck at home, and we'll try to have fun with it. So stay I don't know, looking, stay subscribed,
stay looking,
yeah, all the things. Tomorrow night, Brent and Melissa will be competing in a sequester mini.
We will be.
Yeah. It's
a final little, two, Melissa, you and me.
No pre-gaming.
Oh,
no pre-gaming.
No pre-gaming.
No pre-gaming, right, Brent?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Oh gosh.
You can check that out. Brent and I did a stream earlier today to sort of tell you guys how to watch if you're interested. It's like
how to watch and how to play.
Yes, it's basically just like a little mini game of you know, sequester, social strategy game. We talked about it's the online version. It's very different from Big Brother, but basic concepts remain the same. People vote each other out. They just do it over video calls. And so it's going to be Brent and Melissa, as well as an entire cast of RHAP personalities, including Rob Cesternino himself.
And Mike Bloom and Liana Boris and Kirsten McInnes and cast of thousands.
Yeah, yes. We have a lot of morning updaters on it too.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm actually glad you're not playing in this, Taryn, because like it's like 9 morning updaters and then everybody else. Like
they're all gonna be like, I want Taryn to invite me back in the morning update.
Like, I would have been like, you would have been like the golden god. They would have been like, oh, Taryn, what should we do, Taryn? Oh my god.
Yeah. Also, I did not know about the no pre-gaming rule. So, so it should be interesting. It should be interesting. Check it out if you guys want. You know, we're going to keep you guys updated with as much stuff as we can. I am looking into trying to do a stream with Kevin about watching Big Brother Canada 5 with him for the first time. So that should be fun. You know, more content on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Check me out there. And you know, there might also be some other stuff coming down.
Happy birthday to you, Taryn. Of course the reason why you're not playing tomorrow.
Happy almost birthday.
Because tomorrow is your birthday. So happy birthday. How old are you, Taryn?
I will be 28.
My goodness. You don't look a day over 20. You look so young. Good job, Taryn. Both of you
we'll try to keep it.
I know. I look very young. Well,
both of you look really young. I mean, I don't think I look my age, but that's what you tell me. I'm just saying.
I think you look young. Thanks. I think we all look young.
Yeah, we we just subtract 10 from
right.
All right, that's what we have. Any final thoughts? Any final words, Melissa or Brent?
You know, I had a good time this season. I wish it could have kept going. I was really excited to see where everything ended up, but you know, it is what it is. And I had a good time while it lasted, and you know, hopefully we will be back for Big Brother Canada 9.
Yeah, it was the season of disrupted potential. I mean, Taryn and I, I'll never forget that Twitch stream. It's really the first time I've done something like that with him, where we watched the cast basically like in real time and we watched their videos, and I was so into this cast. I just loved all the people in it. I thought it was a great diverse cast, a really fun cast, a hungry cast, a competitive cast. And then, you know, it all went down the toilet. So what could have been?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate, and my heart really does break for the players. I'm definitely curious to see, you know, just what this means for the show moving forward, like how we remember this season, and the players in it. I hope that we can come away with fond memories for the times that were fondable, and that we can hold some reverence for these lost players who never got to finish their story. So that's all we wrote here, all that we can write for Big Brother Canada 8. So thank you guys for joining us on this, whatever you can call it, season of Big Brother Canada. We will hopefully be able to join you at some point in the future with Big Brother 22 in the US. Perhaps in the summer, perhaps in the fall, perhaps in who knows when, but for whatever
I think it'll
it is,
definitely yeah. come. I mean, it's a cheap show to produce. It gets great ratings. And also, I think there's going to be a lot of shows, like no TV shows are taping right now. So, and Big Brother is a show that you can ramp up right away. So I do think that we will get Big Brother this year. It may not be starting when it normally starts, though. I think that's the fly in the ointment.
Mm-hmm. So we will hopefully see you then. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa. Three A's.
Yep. And if you're going to be watching the Sequester Mini tomorrow, you can just go to sequesteraccess.com/livefeed or just go to their YouTube page. It'll come up on the YouTube page under Sequester Access. And you can see us at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
All right. So for one last time, Big Brother Canada 8. Brent and Melissa, I'm Taren Armstrong. We'll see you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.